This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillahi wa alhamdulillahi wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. I'm really happy to be here in Hong Kong once again by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It brings me great joy to see the numbers of brothers and sisters. And every year, mashallah, we have some faces that are very familiar who have been attending for the last 10 years or more. Alhamdulillah, may Allah bless you guys. And there are new faces every time as well. I look forward to meeting you guys. Today we're talking about the storm. If you see behind me, it says, braving the storm. What storm are we talking about? Difficulty, hardship, navigating through challenges, loss in terms of people who might have passed on around you, loss in terms of your health, maybe diagnosis of something that was very negative. Perhaps you might have had loss of a job, you might have lost a relationship, you might have failed at school or college, you might have been told something that was really negative, or there might have been any form of loss. Anyone wants to say some loss that perhaps I didn't mention already? Can you put up your hand? Yes? Sorry? Financial loss. Yes, financial loss. You could have suffered in business, you could have suffered loss of your shares, cryptocurrency suddenly disappeared, and so on. And yes, that's one. Another one? Health. We mentioned health, but inshallah, that's correct. In terms of diagnosis of an illness or something, perhaps you're not energetic, perhaps you have some disorder, maybe mental health as well. That's also a storm. We all go through it, where we have ups and downs. Some days are better than others. Anyone from the sisters wants to mention a loss, or maybe you guys don't suffer loss? Yes? Anyone? Okay. Yes. In your loved ones. Yes, the loss of a loved one, someone near you. Perhaps loss, not just in terms of death, but relation. I know of cases where people are married or they want to get married, and suddenly one of the two don't want it anymore. So the husband is saying, I don't want this marriage. And the wife says, but please, please give us a chance. Or the other way around. And sometimes before the marriage, everything is okay, and last minute the engagement is broken. Oh, I want to tell you something. When an engagement is broken, it's one of the biggest blessings of Allah regarding your marriage. I'd rather they break it now than to wait until I have two kids and then break it. So when an engagement is broken, it's a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, honestly. And don't be shy or ashamed or afraid to say, I don't want to go ahead with this. For as long as you don't have a problem in that you doubt everything in life. If that's the case, you might want to seek the help of those who love you the most around you, your parents, your siblings, and so on. But if you don't really have that type of a problem, and you really are not at ease with something that's about to go ahead, changing your life, don't go ahead. Wait. Give it a bit of time. Okay. So today I want to talk about faith regarding the storms, braving the storm, the role of faith. What is faith? Number one, you need to realize that it does not mean, point number one, it does not mean that if you have a storm in your life, that Allah does not like you, that Allah is punishing you. No, it does not mean that. If that was the case, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, what about him? He was the most loved by Allah. He went through challenge upon challenge. He was born an orphan. He lost his mother at the age of 6, his grandfather at the age of 8. He lost his wife, his uncle. He lost his children, one after the other. That's only talking about loss of life, loved ones, as the sister said. And then I tell you something, he went through challenge upon challenge, because when he grew up, It was such a beautiful upbringing. He was known as As-Sadiq al-Amin, the truthful, the trustworthy. And when he grew older and Allah chose him to give him revelation, and he told his people who loved him, who trusted him, you know what? I want you to worship Allah alone. They immediately turned against him. His own people drove him out of Makkah. They stole his property. Those were storms. Those were storms. What happened? Is it a sign of the anger of Allah? In fact, that was a sign of the love of Allah. Allah chose you. That's why you're going through this. Inna Allah idha ahabba abdan ibtala. When Allah loves a slave, He tests him, lets him go through storms. Idhamul ajr ma'a idhamil ibtila. We're going to hear this over and over again in the next 2 days, because it's connected to the topic. The greater the storm, the greater the reward. Greater reward is with a greater storm. You need a bigger umbrella for larger rain, right? Raindrops, big, mashallah, huge, subhanallah, tornado, and you got a big umbrella, or you just don't go out, right? May Allah Almighty grant us all protection. So point number one, the storm is not a sign of the anger of Allah. Nor is it a sign of the love of Allah always. What does that mean? If you're a person far from Allah and you're not bothered and you don't care and you have no relation with your maker, you have no faith and so on. If the storm brought you closer to Allah, it is a blessing. It is a blessing. How many of us, we are far from Allah. We don't even think of Him. We don't even pray. Many people, they commit things that they know are wrong. But for them, they don't even care, because everything is going smooth. When Allah loves you, what happens? He makes you go through a hardship. You end up coming to Him. You end up praying for the first time in your life. You opened the Quran. You did adhkar for the first time in your life. What was that? That is Allah bringing you to say, you know what? Don't stay in that condition. Come, come, come. The only way we're going to bring you here, and we know that this is the way you're going to come, is by taking things away. We're going to put a huge storm. When there is a storm, what will you do? You start protecting yourself. How do you protect yourself? Get close to Allah. MashaAllah. So that's a blessing. But if a storm comes in your life and it drifts you away from Allah, then you have a major, major problem. Can I give you an example? Say there is a person relatively religious or not so religious, and they suffer a loss from one of those things we mentioned a little bit earlier. And then they start going to the club and the pub and drinking and drugging and everything else, and lose themselves and gambling and whatnot. What happened? You're making it worse. Is an intoxicant going to solve your problem? You had a major loss, so you go to the bar and you start drinking. And what happens? You don't even know whether you're walking or you're sitting. And you say, I've asked people who are into intoxicants, why do you do it? They say, well, we forget our problems. I say, what, for 5 minutes? They say, no, for the night. Okay, so you get up in the morning, you have a bigger problem because you have a hangover. They call it a hangover, which means you get up in the morning and you feel so down, so groggy. I'm not too sure exactly how, because I've never done it. But does anyone know how it feels? Okay, no, let me not say that. But nonetheless, it's just a feeling, they say, that you feel even lower. So what was the point? You want to solve the problem. It's not going to be resolved by going into intoxicants, be it drugs, be it alcohol, be it binging into that which is the displeasure of Allah. Just go and have a party. That's it. Just go and do whatever you like. No. You will only help solve your problem when you discipline yourself. Calm down. First thing you must remember, whenever we have a storm, listen to what Allah says. Are we not talking about faith? Faith, when it comes to the storm and its role, the role that faith plays in braving the storm. الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Those whom, when a storm that we're talking about, a difficulty, a hardship, right? When it affects them, they say, what do they say? We belong to Allah, and unto Allah we're going to return. Inna lillahi وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. Something bad happened. The first statement of your faith and your reassurance, renewal of your faith, is to say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. We belong to Allah, and to Allah is our ultimate return. Why? Because you came here by the divine decision of your maker. None of us seated here, whether you come from one chai or chai one, doesn't make a difference. Right? None of us seated here are here on earth because we wanted to be here. You ever thought of that? Every one of us, we are here because someone else wanted us to be here. I don't mean the whole. I don't mean Hong Kong per se. I mean on earth. If I were to ask you who came on earth because they said, I want to go to earth. Anyone? No one. That proves that there is a maker behind you. Subhanallah. Someone put you here. And guess what? Whoever put you here, you have to go back to them, because I know when I close my eyes, I'm so sophisticated. I'm a human. Every single one of us has a different thumbprint, first fingerprint, and so on. I was speaking a few days ago in a country, Tanzania, Zanzibar. I'm sure you guys might have seen some of our jet skiing there. By the way, that was just a 10-minute binge. Nothing haram. But people thought, you guys went there to enjoy. No, we actually did some hard work. And we had 10 minutes of a little bit of fun. But that's what the world wanted to see, you see. And nonetheless, I do know there are crises. Right now, the people of Palestine, Lebanon are suffering, struggling. Perhaps the biggest genocide we're ever going to witness in our lives. And it's something so ugly, so unacceptable, so wrong. May Allah Almighty protect them and all of us and grant them goodness and victory and all of us. It's so bad. But do you know that in Palestine, with all of the bombing, there are still weddings. Did you know that? There are still people who have parties, small little parties. Why? To celebrate something. What? They're getting married. Things are happening. They're distracting the children by showing them, look, let's play a game. They jump. We have aid organizations working right inside there. And we know that life has to carry on, as bad as the bombardment is, because we don't want people to become so depressed and so bad in terms of their mental condition, which is relatively difficult to avoid in that scenario. But the older people realized, you know, we have to protect everyone. You have to keep going, keep the children protected, keep people with a bit of hope. There is hope. So that's why life carries on. You don't know how many years it will go on for. When people went into refugee camps, I'm talking about this because it's a storm, so it's part of what we want to say. When people went into refugee camps a few years ago, they thought we're going into the refugee. We knew, based on other experiences, that they're going to be here for a very, very long time. If you go to the camps in Jordan, they're called the Za'atari camps, and the other camps, you will notice people in a storm, living in the storm, and they're living in it for the last 20 years, more, longer. What's happening? They got married, they got children, and their children are also married. It doesn't mean life must stop. But unfortunately, because of our current frustration, people begin to blame each other. How could you be on a jet ski in Zanzibar when the world is dying? Hang on, that was a 10-minute thing. The same people commented who are struggling to say, wow, a breath of fresh air. Inshallah, one day we'll be there. So it depends how you want to look at it. Come on, life has to go on. Life has to go on. And we're not saying it belittling anything. If anything, we are so frustrated about what's going on. But themselves, they'll tell you, please try to let our children know that there is hope in the ummah. That's what we want. We're talking about a storm. Imagine you go through a storm and someone comes to you and says, sister, it's over, it's finished, prepare to die, dig your grave and wait on the side. Come on, man, come on. That's not faith. Faith is when you pray and you have hope. Hope is very, very important in your life and the lives of everyone. To have a laugh in the midst of something serious is human. It's human. I can crack a joke right now and you can all laugh, subhanallah. It's okay, it's human. It doesn't mean it's not a serious talk. It's a very serious talk. So you need to know faith related to Allah. Remember, you're a human. You were created in a situation under the control of Allah. He wants you to eat still. It doesn't mean because there's a problem you can't eat, or you must eat food that is so unhealthy simply because others are eating unhealthy food? No. You can eat, you can drink, you can live your life. You reach out to them in whatever way you can, depending on who you are and what you can do. People's capacities are different. You might go to someone after the loss of your child or being diagnosed cancer, and they might not be able to give you so much because they don't have the capacity, they don't know. And you could be sitting next to someone and they can tell you one sentence that can change your whole perception. It's possible. Everyone's capacity is different. So the point being raised, we belong to Allah. There are difficulties, hardships going on earth. We know that. And in our lives too, I have a problem, you have a problem, I have issues, you have issues. And as we grow older, these issues will increase in size and in seriousness. When you're small, your problem is the battery ran out from my toy. That's the problem. Oh, big, there's a storm. Let's brave the storm. What happened? Hey, the battery's gone. Come on, what storm is that? When you're older, there's a much bigger problem. Why? Because now that battery means nothing, man. Right? In fact, I know little kids, the biggest problem, they'll cry and scream and yell for 2 days simply because you did not give them the exact toy they wanted. We went to the store, you didn't buy that thing. Come on. For them, it's like Qiyamah's come. And yet it's so insignificant. So everyone's problems are on different levels. And that's the reason why your faith, this is another point, your faith should lead you to looking at those with bigger problems than yours. You have to. You have to look at someone with a bigger problem. They say, you don't have shoes. Oh, you don't have shoes. Okay, yes, that's a major issue. In fact, in Palestine, a lot of them would ask for shoes, slippers, because they walk barefoot on what? Shrapnel. May Allah Almighty grant us the ability to understand and appreciate the fact that we have shoes and slippers. You don't have shoes. Guess what? I know someone who doesn't have feet. You don't have feet. I know someone who doesn't have legs. You don't have legs. I know someone who doesn't have hands and legs. Do you get what I mean? Then you start appreciating. You look at them and you say, you know what? Subhanallah. Allah's favored us. Imagine you are saying Allah's favored us when you have a major problem. Why? Your faith led you to looking at those who have a bigger problem than yours. Never ever look at those who have more than you in terms of the worldly items. More than you, there's only one case when you look at them, when it's to do with your connection with Allah, your deen, your religion, your faith. Then you look at those above you. This one prays 5 times a day and tahajjud. Whoa, I need to do better. This one dresses so beautifully, inshallah. One day I'm going to get there. Make that day come soon, inshallah. Because I remember seeing a youngster. Every time I tell him whatever his bad habit was, hey, brother, you need to do something. Because I'm close to him. He says, make dua. I said, brother, you've been saying make dua for the last 4 years. Come on, man. Do something about it. You can't make dua. Imagine a guy with a bad habit, right? Every time you see him, he has to go... You know, they quickly look at you like they haven't smoked, but when they smell so bad, you get closer. And you know what? You have to cut the habit. Cut it. Those of you who smoke, cut it. Today's the day. Today's the day. Don't tell me, make dua, inshallah. No. Relax. You can drop it and chop it without the dua. May Allah grant us goodness. However, I'm not belittling the issue of dua. Make the dua. But I'm saying don't use it as a sentence void of meaning. It must be meaning. Make dua. I will make the effort. Next time I see you by the will of Allah, I won't be smoking. Or I won't have this bad habit. So when it comes to things that are coming in the way of you and Allah and the connection there, look at those who are more well connected than you are. It'll help you. But when it comes to the storms, look at those in a bigger storm. We had rain, we had floods. Talking of the literal storms. The flooding, the roads were flooded. Oh, some of the cars were damaged. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. When you look at what happened in other places where it went into the homes, it went so high, it destroyed so much of their property and so on, you tell yourself, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah for what? People are going to look at you like a crazy person. You just had a huge flood and you're saying, Alhamdulillah. That's because my faith teaches me to thank Allah. It could have been worse. That statement is a statement of faith. Anytime anything happens, you as a believer are taught to say, it could have been worse, because it could have. So in order to help yourself be a charitable person, what is the meaning of charity? Charity has a very broad meaning in Islam. It's not just connected to the monetary giving, although that's the biggest part of it. Charity is connected to your attitude and your character, your conduct. Many of us are not on a level where we are charitable with our character. At home, we cause fights. Within our circles, we are jealous. We cause issues. We cause problems. On our WhatsApp, we message dirty messages. And what is that a charity? No, you're actually asking for trouble. From who? From Allah. It has to come back to you. Allah has a scale of justice. You do something bad, it has to come back to you. So the best thing to do, quickly, make amends. Astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, forgive me. And the person who you wronged, my brother, I wronged you, forgive me. Yesterday, we went out on an outing. One of the brothers was there. And as I walked in, I noticed there were people and there were a few tables. And so I looked at the tables and I thought, let me tuck myself into the corner. And I went in and tucked myself in the corner. A little while later, one of the brothers comes in, beautiful brother. And he tells me, we have to move a table from here to there. I said, no, brother, I'm not interested in moving. I'm staying here. You know, I couldn't sleep well at night because in my heart, I thought perhaps I was too abrupt with this brother. This morning when I met him, or this afternoon, I told him, brother, forgive me. I think I was too hard on you. I think I was abrupt. Yesterday, how I spoke was not right. He said, no, it's okay. We were tired and what. Why? Because I'm supposed to be charitable with the way I talk to you. It's a free charity. I look at you, brother, assalamu alaikum. Lovely to see you. What did I do? It's a sadaqah. I'm not saying it because, well, I don't want to say I don't believe it. I do believe it. But what I mean is I'm not saying it because I want to impress you. More than you, I want to impress Allah. Oh Allah, look what I'm going to make. I'm going to make this person feel like the most amazing person on earth. Like a brother, mashallah, you won't believe it. I'm so excited to see you. What did I do? I'm impressing Allah and I'm giving a charity for Allah. Why am I saying I'm impressing Allah? I don't know you. Sometimes I don't think you deserve kindness because you are not a kind person, but I will be kind because I'm not doing it based on whether you deserve my kindness or not. I'm doing it because Allah loves those who are kind, so I'm kind. Not you are not even in my equation. You're just an opportunity. That's all. You follow what faith is. When you give that type of charity, guess what happens? I greet you, salamu alaikum. I don't know you. I'm making you feel important. You might say, I've had it. People who don't like us, they believe we are weird people. They spit on your face. I don't mind. Hey, it's okay, my brother. It's fine. And he just looks at you like weird. You're supposed to have gotten angry. Not me. I didn't greet you for you in the first place. I greeted you for Allah, not for you. So whatever you did was besides the point. I know Allah wouldn't ever do that. For me, my reward is written. And guess what? The charity I gave will protect me from harm that might be coming in my path. Wow. I'm a believer. Have you ever heard the older people before you're going, you say, Mom, we're traveling to China today. She'll say, give out a little charity before you go. Have you ever heard that? Give out a sadaqah before you go. What is that? That is part of the sunnah in the sense that as-sadaqatu tutfi'u al-bala. Charity extinguishes bala. Bala means calamity. Even if the calamity was going to come, it will be made small. You are going to make a huge accident and lose a limb. Rather than that, it was very small, minor. You just tripped and you cleaned your bruise. That's it. That's why when you clean your bruise, what do you say? You might say, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, but you also say, alhamdulillah, it could have been worse. Faith, have faith. These are the storms. Small things we're talking about. May Allah Almighty grant us ease. Another thing, very important. Third point. The minute the storm happens, watch your tongue. The angels are saying, ameen, ameen. And what do you say? Shh. Am I right or wrong? You heard what I said? No, I didn't say it. Habibi, can I tell you something? It's a problem because the angels are waiting also for you to make a dua. And the first thing you say, you fell down, you say a big F, 10 Fs and big, you know, colorful swear words. No, faith. Remember your faith. I've got to say something. I've got to say Alhamdulillah or Inna Lillahi wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un or A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. Seek Allah's protection from Shaitan the accursed. Thank Allah because it could have been worse, or declare that you are all going to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are returning to Allah. That is an amazing teaching, because like I said, you came on earth, you were brought onto this earth, not by your choice, by Allah's choice. So you will leave also by Allah's choice. When you say Inna Lillah, you are saying we belong to Allah anyway. I don't care what has happened here, because I know that ultimately I'm going to go back to the one who made me. I was talking about how we have different fingers, right? The fingerprints. Everyone from the beginning, Adam, right up to the end, the last person, will have a different fingerprint. And not just fingerprint, the iris print, as they call it, right? And can I tell you what? That itself is evidence that you are going to be taken account of by Allah. Because if there was no need to take account, there would be no need to have different identities. When Allah brings you to account on the Day of Judgment, there is no doubt whatever you are guilty of, you are guilty of. Why? We've got 1,000 different ways of proving it was just you, no one else. Your DNA is unique. There's no way that it can be confused with someone else. Imagine a criminal, what they do in the States a lot of the times, and with all due respect to whoever is there, they execute people later to find out, oh, that guy was innocent. Oh, they jailed him for 20 years, 50 years. An old 60-year-old is coming out. They say the guy committed a crime in 1980. And you know what? Now we found out that he was innocent. And the guy, boy, he's on a wheelchair, or he's got a walking stick coming out. And they expect him to just say, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. At least now you're free. In the court of Allah, that doesn't happen. And by the way, in the Sharia, that can never happen. Impossible. Because there's a big difference. One is the courts in the Western world operate in a way where they say something very interesting. They say, beyond reasonable doubt, we found this man guilty, so he's going to go to the gallows. That's what they say. In Islam, if there is a single droplet of doubt, you cannot send him to the gallows. Done. Did you ever know that? There has to be no doubt whatsoever. If there is doubt, there has to be a lesser punishment, or no punishment, or a lesser punishment. But when there is absolutely no doubt, that's the only time you can serve the highest of the punishments. A very big difference between the Western courts and the Sharia courts. One will tell you, beyond reasonable doubt, all of us feel that this. On the other, they will tell you, we know this is what happened. Done. So the level of error is between the earth and the skies and the heavens. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us goodness. Going back to what we were saying, if we're all so unique and so sophisticated, look, I have a feeling. I love and I dislike too. I get attached. I have a family. I have loved ones. I have people I'd like to meet and get to know more. I'd like to sit with some, but I can't for many reasons. Primarily because I'm human and there's not enough time on earth. Right now, I'd like to sit and greet everyone. I can't. Why? No time. But I can tell you something interesting. If I'm so sophisticated, I can see you right now. And if I were to die now, do you really reckon that's the end of everything? No, it's not. My faith leads me to believe that I have to go somewhere. And when I go to that place, back to whoever made me, if I have the opportunity, and Allah will grant it if you want it, and you've gotten to the right place to meet and to do what I wanted to, I will then be able to do things. That's why you hear people saying, I'll get married to you in Jannah. Have you heard that? I hear that a lot. People say, I'll get married to you in Jannah. Nobody said it to you. Allahu Akbar, my brother. Maybe wear a thobe, grow a beard, and perhaps start giving talks. May Allah bless you. That's, no. May Allah bless you. I'm just saying it. Everyone feels certain things certain times, you know, you have to. And your children, your family, sometimes you might not be there for them long time. Sometimes children have lost their parents and it affects them. Those are storms. Those are huge storms. I know of people whom later on in life, and I've sat and discussed and spoken, and psychologically you get to the bottom of it. Sometimes the way they behave later on in life is very closely connected to some storm which they didn't brave correctly when they were younger. So many times it happens. I know a youngster whose father passed away when he was 11. He lost the path, yet he came from such a beautiful home because the father was a pillar in his home. May Allah allow us to be an asset to our children. And that's why people get married. After they get married, they want children. When they get children, what do they want? They want to bring those children up and see them married. Someone says, when would you like to die? They say, I'd like to die after all my children are married. You meet them after all the children are married. When would you like to die? I'd like to die after I have grandchildren. Then you say, okay, when would you like to die now that you have grandchildren? Well, I'd like to see my grandchildren married. And then you ask them, well, now when would you like to die? And then they tell you, well, you know, now that my grandchildren are married, I'd like to see my great-grandchildren. Okay, it doesn't stop. Allah says, we decide when you're going to go. Let's go. Because man is such that he will never want to go. He'll never want to go. So that's why when you know of anyone who's passed away, your faith, we're talking of the storm. The storm of what? The storm of knowing that someone near you passed away. Your faith should lead you to believe that that was the best time for them to go based on Allah's planning. They went young. They went young. Where did they go? They went to Jannah, inshallah. Is it better to die young and go to Jannah or to live a longer life and go somewhere else? What would you like? Very debatable. I like that answer because you know what? It's debatable because who knows that I am going to go somewhere else if I live a little bit longer, right? You know why? The world is such a big deception, but it's been made beautiful to us. And Allah says, anything you found on earth does not qualify to be found in paradise the way it is on earth. Nothing. That's a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. فِيهَا مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. In Jannah is that which no eyes have seen, no ears have heard, and it hasn't even crossed your imagination. Wait until you get there. When I came on earth, I came with absolutely nothing. They had to clothe me. And my time, there were no disposable nappies. Do you know that? They had to clothe me. And when I leave with nothing. Nothing. All these nice things and beautiful scents and lovely clothing and whatever else. All of that is irrelevant, man. Gone, khalas. So then what am I going to get? Believe that I'm going to get something amazing. I, for one, am convinced that as sinful as I may be, I'm a human, I'm a believer, I love my Lord. If I've sinned only because of my human weakness and not because I want to defy the one who made me. I seek forgiveness every day and I ask Allah and I try to be a good person. I try to be as kind-hearted as possible. I try to fulfill my obligations unto Allah. As a human, I will falter, I will make mistakes, but I believe through the mercy of my Maker, we will go to paradise. We will go to paradise. Don't be such a low person who has no hope in paradise. No, man. No. Are you evil? No. Well, then have hope. If you are evil and you have a dirty heart and you wish bad for others and you really are so difficult, then you need to work hard on yourself. Because one day you're going to go back to Allah. One day you're going to go back to Allah. There's a difference between sinning out of your human weakness and sinning out of being pure evil. Pure evil. I mean, I want to make your life difficult. Why? I don't like your face. Come on. You expect paradise. Do you know you have a Lord to go back to? Allah says, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhiri falyaqul khayran aw liyasmut." Whoever believes in Allah and the last day, say that which is good or keep quiet. Because Allah is going to ask you every word you've uttered. My beloved brothers, my sisters. Something happens to you, say a good word. That's actually point number three. Without saying a bad word. Like I say, if I tripped from here to there, may Allah protect us. The first thing I should say is not a swear word. And that's what the world teaches us to say. Everyone swears and they make like there's nothing wrong. I've seen religious people who pray five times a day, but they just swear. Like they don't even consider it a swear word anymore. It is. The words are written. Everything you utter. I'd rather have a good word written on my scale. I'd rather have a lovely, beautiful subhanallah, astaghfirullah, or inna lillahi wa inna. I'd rather have that written than a big F word and an SH word and a B word and whatever else it might be. All those words are not, they're not needed in the scale of a believer. No, you don't need them. May Allah forgive me for every time I might have said such words. And may Allah strengthen all of us so we don't use those words. Make a change in your life. Your life will change. You know, they say, Allah will guide whoever He wants to guide. That statement is correct. But sometimes shaitan makes you abuse the statement by making you think you don't have to play a role in it. Allah says He guides those who want the guidance. He guides those who want guidance. So if I say, oh Allah, guide me to the path, and I'm walking to the pub, I say, well, if Allah wants to guide me, I won't be able to enter here. But you're entering. You're making an effort to do something and you're asking for something else. Allah says, ask for something and make an effort towards the same thing. Then see what happens. Then see what happens. You want to make a change in your life. Make an effort towards the change. And Allah will definitely open your door. Nobody on earth has asked Allah for guidance and walked towards the guidance and not been guided. No, it doesn't happen. Allah says it Himself. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Whoever strives and makes an effort towards Allah, Allah says, we will guide them to our paths. There's no chance we won't. Allah's promise. The problem with man, we know predestiny, but we abuse predestiny to justify what bad we might be doing. Don't do that. Anyway, let's get to the storm. How many of us engage in the remembrance of Allah on a daily basis? I'm not talking of salah. I'm talking of adhkar. Adhkar is one of the acts of worship that many of us are guilty of abandoning. What are adhkar? Subhanallah, 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 subhanallah. Someone might think, if they don't know, they might think I'm a madman. I'm not mad. I'm madly in love with Allah. What am I doing? I'm repeating, Allah is the greatest. Glory be to Allah. All praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah, 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 alhamdulillah. Imagine I tell you, I love 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 you. You say, shut up, right? With Allah, it's called dhikr. For as long as Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught you something, some form of dhikr, and you're repeating that dhikr, you are in the right place. All of us, myself included, are we not guilty of not doing dhikr on a daily basis? If I tell you what are the pillars of Islam, you can mention them. Salah, did you read? Yes, I did. What about your adhkar? Adhkar, problem. Why? We didn't do adhkar. How many times did you do astaghfirullah? Say it nicely. Don't just go like, no, Allah doesn't need it for you. Say alhamdulillah correctly. Allah doesn't need it, imagine. You need it, I need it. Say, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Yesterday when we arrived, or the day before, they gave me a basket with a few things. You won't believe it, in it there was an electronic counter. I actually took it and I said, alhamdulillah, 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 just to see how it works, you know. And I saw it went to 4 or 5. I said, okay, it's fine, I'll use my fingers still. But nonetheless, whatever you use that or use your fingers. The idea is 100 times a day, 33 times after every prayer, find out the ahadith. Why? Braving a storm, Allah tells you to prepare for it before it comes. What is it? تعرف إلى الله في الرخاء يعرفك في الشدة. Get acquainted with Allah during your days of ease. And then watch, when the storm comes, Allah will get acquainted with you. You're happy. Something happened. I remember in South Africa, there were some xenophobic attacks and some people lost their entire business. And guess what happened? The guy says, Alhamdulillah, I enjoyed life for 30 years. Allah blessed me with millions. Today I lost everything. We will start again. But I'm going to thank Allah. How can I be upset? I want to ask you a question. All of us seated here. I've said this usually, I say it in a lot of places. Your parents, what was their condition? Their parents, that means your grandparents, what was their condition? And their parents, what was their condition? Are you not in a better condition than all of those? Wallahi, I'm not joking. Has Allah not favored you? Has He not raised you up beyond your grandparents? If they were here today, they wouldn't even recognize, oh, wow, you actually have a place. Wow, you have water from a tap. Amazing. You guys are so, you have a car. Subhanallah. Think of where they were, where I am. Relatively, I might be going through turbulence now. If I'm not going to ponder over the broader gift of Allah, I'm never going to recognize the favor of Allah upon me. We were saying, ta'arraf ilallahi fil rakha'i ya'rifka fil shidda. Get acquainted with Allah. By what? Remembering Him. I stayed away from haram to the best of my ability. And wherever I fell, I quickly repented to Allah. That quick repentance is such a big blessing, because when a storm comes, Allah will help you through the storm. You always turn back to Him, even during your human weakness. You turn back to Allah. You missed your prayer. You were so regretful. Oh Allah, forgive me. And you move on. Don't let shaitan depress you. That's a very important point. You see, you're a human. You're not perfect. You might miss a prayer. You might end up doing something wrong. When you do something wrong, Allah shows you a way out. He says, I love it when you seek forgiveness. So seek forgiveness, believing that Allah loved what you just did in terms of seeking forgiveness. After that, close the chapter, throw it out and forget about it. And don't think, oh, am I forgiven? Am I not forgiven? Am I forgiven? Am I not forgiven? For 20 years, am I forgiven? Am I not? Chill. That's shaitan spoiling the rest of your worship. He's spoiling the rest of your connection with Allah. That's what he's doing. Yes, whenever you think of it, you're a human. Just say, astaghfirullah. Oh Allah, I thank you for being so merciful. I remember my period of jahiliyyah when I used to do so many evil things. I sought forgiveness from you. I'm so hopeful you've forgiven me. But I was, you know, it's like when you really love someone and you really respect someone and say you swore them. And then you say, hey, I'm so sorry I swore you. I'm so sorry. I feel bad. If you really felt bad, the next time you see them, you say, salamu alaikum, how are you, brother? Hey, I can't forget the fact that I swore you, right? They already forgave you. You're repeating it not because you're doubting the forgiveness. It's your embarrassment. That's why I'm saying it again. I see you after 20 years. Hey, brother, I still feel ashamed. When we were kids, you remember what I did to you, bro? I broke a bottle on your head. Right? You might say that. You're not saying it because you want to ask for forgiveness again. But you're saying, I was so foolish. When you see Allah in your life, and you start saying, oh Allah, when I did this. Oh, yeah, I thank you for being so merciful and kind. That's Allah. I thank you for being merciful and kind. That's Allah. Imagine if He wasn't that merciful. So the repetition should never be because you're doubting Allah. Don't doubt Allah. Allah says, لا تقنطوا. Don't lose hope. You're losing hope. Don't doubt the mercy of Allah. You're doubting. Allah says, don't doubt. So shaitan enters a door, especially with the young who start practicing. Shaitan enters the door. After you seek forgiveness, he comes to you and gives you OCD. Did Allah accept? Did He not accept? You did your salah, go for it. You made 20 mistakes in it. With those 20 mistakes, Allah accepted it and loved it. You went to the bathroom, you washed up and walked out in 1 minute, no problem. One or two small blunders, a little bit this way, that way. No, Allah doesn't require perfection from you. There will always be something a little bit amiss. You're a human, treat yourself as a human. You're not a perfect being. Allah loves it the way it is. Let's move, let's go. Do your salah. Oh, but I might not be 100% pure. No problem. Are you 80, 90? Go. Read your salah. It's better than being OCD about it and not enjoying your whole prayer. Allah doesn't need that from you. You need it yourself. I hope what I've said has at least helped a few people who might have that problem. So the most important thing you need to do is remember Allah. He will remember you. I want to deal with a storm before the storm comes by preparing. Someone tells you, listen, There's going to be a cyclone. What do? You start getting your sandbags, you start getting whatever you have to, you start preparing, you start going in an elevated place and whatever need be, I might want to evacuate before the sandstorm, before the storm. When the tornado comes, whatever comes, comes. I've already prepared for it. You and I are taught, you are going to suffer in this world losses because the world is created in order for you to endure the losses. Did you ever know that? None from amongst us has ever had whatever they've wanted on earth. You've only had whatever Allah wanted you to have from among those things you wanted and even from among those things you did not want. That's Allah. So I tell you, we came on this earth to be tested. The word tested really means hardship, difficulty coming in your direction. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. Then He says, وَبَشِّرِ السَّابِرِينَ. Give good news to those who are patient. If Allah is going to test you and He tells you, prepare for that before it comes to you. You know, if you haven't lost a loved one yet, you're going to have to lose a loved one. I'm sorry to carry the news to you today. You have to. Someone has to die. They can't be alive forever. Either you die before them or they die before you, or you die together. There's no fourth option. So prepare from now. Make the most of your relatives. They say you have sisters. Treat them with respect because they're not going to be there forever. You have brothers. Treat them with goodness. Seek forgiveness from them. Be kind. Be good to everyone around. You have parents. Spend some time with them. Solve the problems. Be easy on each other. Allah will be easy on those who are easy on one another. Allah has mercy upon those who have mercy on one another. So in this life, prepare for those tough days by being a better person. Remember Allah, He'll remember you. Prepare for the storm by worshipping Allah to the best of your ability. I want to say two things. My time is up. Number one, please ensure that you revive your daily adhkar. Adhkar means the remembrance of Allah with short phrases. Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Say it every day 100 times. It will change your life, I swear by Allah. It will change. It will grant you a calmness of your soul and your heart, contentment. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَتَطْمَئِنُّ قُلُوبُهُمْ بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبُ. Those who believe, they achieve comfort of the heart by the remembrance of Allah. For indeed, it is the remembrance of Allah that will comfort the heart. You want comfort? Remember Allah. What is the remembrance here referring to? It has a broader meaning and a specific meaning. The specific meaning is the remembrance of Allah, adhkar. The broader meaning is all acts of worship. That's remembrance of Allah. To stay away from prohibition is a remembrance of Allah. So the first thing I wanted to say is, these adhkar, revive them. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu yuhyi wa yumitu wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. Powerful dhikr, powerful. Repeat it after your farad prayer 10 times. Sunnah, fajr, asr, repeat it again. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah al-azim. Read about that in the hadith. Allah says, two words that are very light on the tongue, very heavy on the scale, very loved by Allah. Those are the sentences. That's the words. Say them, repeat them. They're loved by Allah. Number two, I want to tell you something very important and I'll close. The Quran, build a relationship with it. Wallahi, read it every day. Pick it up in the morning, first thing after Fajr, before Fajr, right in the morning, first thing, or in the evening before you recline to bed, pick it up, open it, read one verse, and then go to bed. One verse, just one a day. Read the meaning, read the verse, close it, go to bed. It will change your life. The Quran has two things, many things I want to mention too. Number one is it's magnetic. You started with one verse. You're going to end up doing 2, 3, 5, 10. Before you know it, you're doing 2 pages, 5 pages, 6 pages, 20 pages a day. The Quran is magnetic. Why? Because it's the word of Allah, and Allah tells you, whoever comes towards me 1 foot, I will come towards them much more than that. Whoever comes to me walking, I will come to him rushing. It's a hadith. So when you make a small effort with the Quran will make, in fact, Allah will bless you through that Quran by a much bigger effort that you can now make. And you achieve so much more. It's easier. That's Allah. The Quran is magnetizing. Number two, the owner of time is Allah. When you've made time for the owner of time, even if you don't have time, time is made. I hope you understood what I said. Can I explain it to you quickly? People say, I haven't read Quran because I don't have time. Oh, I haven't read Quran because I don't have time. Guess what? The Quran is the word of the owner of time. Force yourself to cut and cancel whatever needs to be canceled and spend 5 minutes with the Quran. When you started your day early morning at Fajr with the Quran, wallahi, I tell you, people I've asked, I did a research on my own asking people, they say that day we don't know how much we were so blessed with time. We had so much time that we were wondering, hey, is there anything else I can do today? How did you get the time? You got the time because you thought you didn't have the time, but you made the time for the owner of time, a few minutes in order to read his kalam, his word, and he said, hang on, we're going to bless your day with so much of time. That's Allah. That's Allah, the most powerful word in existence. It is the owner of time whose word it is. May Allah bless you all. We're talking about braving the storms. When you connect with the Quran, Allah says it in the Quran. You know, my hair as I'm standing is actually standing too. Subhanallah. Allah says it in the Quran to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكُلَّن نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ مِنْ أَنْبَاءِ الرُّسُلِ مَا نُثَبِّتُ بِهِ فُؤَادَكَ. Whenever we've mentioned any of the stories of the prophets, it is in order to strengthen you and your soul and your heart. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of what we've said in this Quran is to make you a stronger person and to allow you to connect with Allah in a better way. All of us, the message is for us. If the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is being told, go through this and it will help you, what do you think it's going to do to you and I? May Allah Almighty help us all brave storms. أقول قولي هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.